نحمده ونستعين ونستغفره. نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah, don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, we greet you all with the greeting of Al-Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Almighty Allah be with you all. We would like to welcome all of you for our continuation for explanation the book Bulugh al-Maram in Adillat al-Ahkam lil-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayh. This is a continuation for explanation and authentication for the book, the attainment of the objective for the Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. May the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him. And tonight, inshallah, this our ninth class for the sixth album. And the possibility is the last or the one before the last class. And today, inshallah, we have a new chapter which is concerning الزهد والورع. This is going to be page number 518, and today inshallah we'll be starting hadith number 1266, and syncretism and piety, which means الزهد. And الزهد, that you are not be concerned about this material thing of this life, that you trusting in what in Allah's hand more than what is in your hand, that you take from this material thing of this life what is sufficient and necessary for you to life, not to exceed and not to be running behind the material thing and try to collect this material thing, especially if it's in the cost of losing of your deen or compromising some of your deen. And al-wara, which is that a person being staying away from doubtful things out of the fear that he may fall into the forbidden things. So al-zuhd and al-wara is the two terms that we're working with tonight in this chapter. One is that for you to be in opposite with this life, not to be so concerned about this material thing, and the second one is dealing with your conscience, avoiding the doubtful things which may lead you to what is forbidden. The first hadith in this chapter reported by An-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhuma qal, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول وأهوى النعمان بإصبعيه إلى أذنيه إن الحلال بين وإن الحرام بين وبينهما مشتبهات لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس فمن اتقى الشبهات فقد استبرأ لدينه وعرضه ومن وقع في الشبهات وقع في الحرام كالراعي يرعى حول الحمى يوشك أن يقع فيه ألا وإن لكل ملك حمى ألا وإن حمى الله محارمه ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب. متفق عليه. This hadith reported by An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed lawful things is clear and forbidden things is clear. Between the lawful and the forbidden things there is a doubtful things which not a lot of people. Akhi, would you please talk to the people in the reception area? And between the halal and the haram there is a doubtful things not a lot of people know them. The one who avoids the doubtful things, he will be safe. And the one who falls down and get involved in the doubtful things, he will be a person who exposed himself to the haram. That means eventually he will fall in the haram as a result of dealing with the doubtful thing. Like a shepherd who is allowing his sheep to eat in the... Tell Muhammad Yassin not to answer the phone please, and he can come sit here. Like a shepherd who allow his animals to eat around a reserve or preserve area that is not allowed to everybody, soon or later that these animals that will transpass and get in the preserved area. Indeed, every king has a preserved area, and the preserved area of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the unlawful things. Indeed, In the body there is a piece of flesh. If it is good, the whole body will be good. And if it spoils, the whole body will be corrupted. Indeed, this is the heart. From this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informing us that things which is halal and lawful, Allah had made it clear and well known. And also the haram things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear and is known. But between the halal and the haram, there are things which is doubtful. But not everybody have the means and the ways to understand these things. So what is better that the person to stay away from what is doubtful? Because when you're dealing with the doubtful things, soon or later will drag you to the haram things, the forbidden things. But still the hadith is letting us know that say doubtful things, not everybody know it. That means there is certain people know it. So it shows you that the people are different in their ability of understanding the statement of Allah or the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the understanding of the scholars can be various and can be different. But for the common Muslim that who doesn't know about these doubtful things, is more safer for him to leave it alone. Because if he dealing with items and things which you may call it the gray area, soon or later he will find himself in the forbidden area. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam give example with a person who take his animals to eat outside, and he go to an area which close to a restricted area. So the animals will eat out of the restricted area, but soon or later this animal and these sheep, it may transgress this limit and this fence and this preserved area, and they will go in it, and now this person will be in trouble because now his animal been in an area that is not supposed to be in. And he given example by this and say that the preserved area or the restricted area that belong to every king have a special place for his horses to be running, for his house to be there. Nobody supposed to transgress or transpass these limits. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a preserved area which nobody supposed to come closer to it, which is the haram, the limits of Allah, like drinking, like usury, like adultery, all these things. When you get closer to gray area, it will eventually lead you to find yourself falling into the haram. So for you to save yourself from the trouble, stay away from the gray area, stay away from doubtful things, stick with the halal and do it, and stay away from the haram. This will be much safer for you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in the human being body there is a piece of flesh. If this piece of flesh is good, your body will be good, because this is the foundation of your body and this is your heart. If your heart is corrupted, have sickness and illness, jealousy and envy, hypocrisy, doubtful about this deen, that your body is not going to be straight, your eyes is not going to be straight. Why? Because you did not accept the iman in your heart. So the heart is the most important elements of the whole body. He is the leader, and the limbs of the body will be followers. So if you If you focus more about your body being solid and being good, now your body will be solid and be good. So from this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraging us that we only deal with the halal, and that we only do the halal, the lawful things. And also the hadith is warning us against the haram. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And also telling us about how to be safe. How to be safe is stay away from the doubtful things. You don't want to get yourself in trouble? Deal with the things which is clear cut. You know that this halal, do it. This is haram, stay away from it. Or you say, I'm not sure about these things. So if you are not sure, leave it alone. If you leave it alone, you'll be safe. Also, from this hadith, we see the necessity of working hard in our hearts. Okay? Because our hearts is the foundation. Okay? That you build on it. So that you try your best to clean your heart. Because if you have a good heart, now this, as a result of this, alaykum salam, that your limbs and your body will be in a better condition. The next hadith, hadith 1267, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تعس عبد الدينار والدرهم والقطيفة إن أعطي رضي وإن لم يعطى لم يرضى. This hadith reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Al-Bukhari, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith is authentic, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, ta'isa, that mean misfortune, never progress, you could not be a winner, if you are a slave of the dollar, if you are the slave of the shirt, the suit, okay? That means the material things. If you've been given out of this material thing, now you're happy and you're content. But if you've been deprived and been withheld from you, now you're angry and you're mad. Okay, you are not pleased. So that means a person living in this dunya, his main concern is to look good, to dress good, to eat good. This is what he cares. You see? He's not concerned about his deen. He's not concerned about making salah with the jama'at. He's not concerned about learning Quran. The main priority, looking good, dressing good, eating good. You see? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this kind of person, he is not Abdullah. He is Abd al-Dunya. He is a slave of the suit. He is a slave of the ma'ida. He is a slave of his appearance, the way how he look. Okay? This what is directing him in his life. Because when he's been given from this life, this material thing, now he's happy. If he don't have it, he's not happy. You see, he may feel bad if he lose $5, but he doesn't feel bad if he didn't get up to make salah before sunrise. He may happy understand if he found a job $10 an hour, but doesn't matter if this is the expenses of his deen, he maybe even is not making Jum'ah. You see, so the person who sacrifice his deen for the dunya, this person is what became Abd al-Dunya, became the slave of the dunya. And this kind of person never can progress, never can succeed, never is going to be in success. Why? Because the success in the hand of Allah, the happiness in the hand of Allah. So all your concern of pleasing Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you happy and content, even if you don't have the dollar in your pocket. But you may have the dollars and the money and the everything, but you are not happy. And no way a person will progress in the expenses of his deen, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua against him. He said ta'isa, okay, min al-ta'asa. No way he be running, you understand, running back and forth, running 17 hours working a day, and the second week of the month he's borrowed money, he don't have enough money to pay his rent. You see, he doesn't have money to do anything. He can be making a lot of money, but nothing is enough for him. Why? Because he did not take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be his God, his Lord. That means he did not submit himself to Allah and try to please Allah first, all what he concerned about what he eating, how he dress, how he look. And if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pray against somebody, this person never can progress. Was the Prophet saying, say ta'isa, ta'isa, misfortune. How he can progress? No way. The next hadith, which hadith 1269 in page number 519. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم. This hadith reported by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Ibn Hibban, and the hadith is Hassan, is good. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, what the meaning is, that whosoever imitate a people, he became one of them. A person who imitate a people, he will be what? He will be count as one of them. And whosoever imitate a people, that mean he try to act like them, he try to look like them. Okay, what is special that you recognize these people by it? Like you see some people, they have this, what you call it, a red tail in their hair. Okay, or that's people that where they let their pants falling and almost to half of their backside. Okay, or you find the people putting the belt, okay, to be hanging in front of them, their private parts. Or you find the people that shaving their beard. Okay, all these things imitation of the kuffar. All this imitation of the kuffar. This is not the way how the Muslims behave. The Muslims, they always look to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be their example. Okay, how he lived, how he ate, how he talked, how he walked, how he dressed, how he did things. And you try imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the best of your ability. But when you bought the kuffar in their styles, their dress, their clothes, how they move their hands when they talk, the styles of their hairs, okay, especially about things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for sure had forbidden. And one of them, like the people shaving part of their head and leaving part of it, this called in al-Islam qaza', okay, this is forbidden. Like people shaving their beard, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade this, okay. So there is many things. So when every time style come out, we try to do it, you see. So those people concerned about the styles and living according what the people doing, those people going to be count to be part of those. You are not imitating the Muslims, you are not dressing like the Muslim, you are not behaving like the Muslim, you are not talking like the Muslims, okay. So those people who their concern to be part, because this your love, this what you love these people, so you want to look like them. So since you accept yourself to look like them, you be resurrected with them, you be counting like them, okay. And this is very serious for the Muslims to put himself in a position to look like a kuffar, that he could not be distinguished from the kuffar or be concerned to be look like zin. And we see from this hadith that means which leads to haram will be judged as haram. So whatever leads to haram is haram. Whatever leads to munkar is munkar. Okay? So is not what is forbidden of doing the haram itself, but whatever going to bring you closer to this haram, this means itself became haram. Why? Because the means eventually will lead you or make you fall into what is forbidden. Next hadith, which hadith 1270 عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال يا غلام احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك واذا سألت فاسأل الله واذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayh. The hadith is authentic. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying to Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, one day while he was riding behind the Prophet, O young man, guard Allah's limits, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guard you. Pay attention to Allah's order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be to your side. If you ask, ask Allah. If you ask help, ask help in Allah. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching the young boys of the Sahaba, and one of them, which Abdullah ibn Abbas, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was concerned about him. He given him direction. He didn't say, oh, he's young, he doesn't know too much, okay. No, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's giving him a ride, and he in the same time taking advantage of this opportunity, and he's talking to him, and he telling to him, O young man, pay attention to what I'm teaching you. If you guard Allah's limits, Allah will guard you. Okay? So if we need Allah's protection, how we can achieve this? By guarding Allah's limits. You don't to go break Allah's limits and after this expecting Allah to protect you. You need to be protected from yourself. You need to be protected from the shaitan. You need to be protected from the dunya and the temptation. You need to be protected from the evil companies and companions. So you need a lot of protection. You need to be protected from the shaitan. All these things, we need protection against all these things. How we can get this protection? By guarding Allah's limits. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, don't do it, you stay away from it completely. Now as a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do what? He will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and He will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Him before you. So when you need Allah, which we need Allah at all time, okay, we need Allah at all time, but sometimes we think, you understand, that everything is okay. The car is running, the heat is working, you see, so we don't remember too much. You see, there is some money in the bucket, there is food in the table, so you keep running in your life like a regular life. And you start to think when you have a car trouble, when you're sick, you have a stomach ache. Now you start to think, you see. But in actuality, we need Allah at all time. But when it comes difficult and hardship, usually people start to think about Allah now, in this moment, or more than before, you see. But we're supposed to understand, even if we have money in our hand, we still need Allah. Even if you're healthy, you still need Allah. You see? So, a person, by always needing Allah's assistance, all what you have to do to guard Allah's limits.
Also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching him about Tawheed. Okay? Tawheed, which is the essence of Islam. The most important elements of Islam. Do what? إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask, ask Allah. If you beg, you don't beg the Prophet, you don't beg the Wali, you don't call in the dead people, the saint, okay? You don't call in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay? إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. Why? Because only Allah is the one can help you. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one can give you. So when you ask him things which is not in the human being ability, don't ask anybody else except Allah. Like forgiveness, healing, giving your children, change your condition to a better condition. Okay? If I don't know how to read this word, there is nothing wrong that I ask. How I can spell this word, how I write this word. If I don't know how to do this program in the computer, I can ask. So you ask a human being what's in their limits. But you don't ask the human being what is not in their limits, what is not in their ability, like healing, like forgiveness, like shafa'a, intercession. Okay? You could not ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam this. Neither you can ask the awliya. إذا سألت فاسأل الله. And also what? وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. So when you seek help in Allah. So you ask Allah and you seek help in Allah, and Allah alone, not anybody else. Don't say, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves the Prophet Muhammad. Allah, yes, this is true. But still you could not ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, you don't say, oh yeah, the angel Jibreel, he's the chief of the angels, he's the one who always carries a revelation. Oh Jibreel, help me to go to paradise. You see, if you do this, this is shirk. That means you associate in partner beside Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like this, neither Allah forgives this. So you have to be very, very careful of invoking anybody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Jibreel and the Prophet Muhammad and the awliya, all of them, they call in who? They call in Allah. And when they need help, they need help, they ask only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In page number 520, hadith reported by Sa'd, Sahl ibn Sa'd, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Ibn Majah, the hadith is Hassan. The hadith, the degree of the hadith is good. That Imam came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله دلني على عمل إذا عملته أحبني الله وأحبني الناس. فقال ازهد في الدنيا يحبك الله وازهد فيما عند الناس يحبك الناس. This man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, O Prophet of Allah, show me and direct me to a deed, that this deed, if I do it, Allah will love me and the people will love me. You see, direct me to a deed. إذا عملت أحبني الله وأحبني الناس. قال ازهد في الدنيا يحبك الله وازهد فيما عند الناس يحبك الناس. Okay? He said, lead me and direct me to a deed. If I do it, Allah will love me and the people will love me. You see, this man is so smart. He was not concerned about the people. He was first concerned about Allah. Teach me what is this deed that I do it that Allah will love me. And also this man is smart, because we are not living in this life with no one, we are surrounded by people. Okay? So also you want to be good to the Allah's creation. So what is that I can do and Allah will be happy with me, and also the people can be happy with me? Zuhd. The zuhd, be different, be a distant from this material thing. Don't fall in love with the dunya. Don't fall in love with the dunya. Now if you be different with this dunya, Allah will love you. Why? Because the more you love the dunya, the more that you're getting away from Allah. Because the dunya requires from you to be running behind it, and running behind this material thing will make you neglect your deen. How many people don't make Jum'ah because the dunya? Because they want to go to jobs, they want to go to schools, they want these. How many women, they take their headpiece so they can go to jobs, they can be acceptable in their schools, they can look good to their boss man and all these things. So this is the dunya. Men, women, money, jobs. You see, all this material thing, this what you call is the dunya. Houses, okay, foods, clothes, okay, all this collectively we call it what? Dunya. And dunya coming from dana'a, a lower thing, okay, like something dirty, a low. Always understand there is something high and there is something lower or low. So the dunya came from something to be low, okay. The more that you get involved in this dunya, the more that you're getting away from Allah. So now, for you running behind the dunya, you're getting away from Allah. You see? But how is the believer supposed to live? The believer supposed to live by taking from the dunya what is sufficient for him to make it. You see? This is the only way you can be safe. The more that you get involved with this dunya, with this material thing, the more dangerous. Okay? So we take from the dunya what is sufficient for us to make it. Be happy, be content with a little bit for you to make it. And after this, direct the rest of your time for the deen, to worship Allah, to please Allah, to give da'wah, to help the Muslims, okay? This is a safe way for you. And also, izhad fima aydi nas. Izhad fima inda nas yuhibbuka nas. Don't look too much to what the people have in their hands. And this is the way the people will love you. Because the moment you start... Akhi, the microphone is shagal bara? What? Okay, can you turn it on? Maybe this will... So... The more that you look to the people what they have, oh, I like your car, oh, I like this, you understand, you think you can have this, you can... So the more that you ask in what the people have, the people, they start to stay away from you. You see? The people will stay away from you because the people, they don't like anybody looking to what is in their hands. You like their money, you like their cars, you like their houses, you want this, you want that, you want this, you want that. The people don't want this. Okay? And the people get scared that you're going to ask them, oh, can I borrow your car? Okay, can I borrow, I understand, this sweater? Can I use your shirt today? Can I use your swimming pool today? So the more that you keep asking the people what they got, the more that they get in the distance from you. So how you can win the pleasure of the people? That be self-sufficient of what the people have. Don't ask them what they got. Now they feel secure towards you, okay, that you don't want what they have. Okay? Now they have no problem to talk with you, to sit with you, you see, because they are not scared from you or that, sure, okay, that you be embarrassing them, asking them such things. So, being a different with the material thing is the key of everything and how to be saved in this life. To be good with Allah, and to be good with the people. Don't keep looking too much to this material thing, and take from this dunya what is necessary for you to make it. Alright? Like somebody need to go for a quick journey, okay, and fast, and he have to be jogging. He doesn't carry suitcase with him, okay? Like people, they try to take what is very light, okay, to make it. They don't take what is more important. The more you start to take from this dunya, the more it's going to be heavy in you. You could not be jogging, okay? So you need to get a delivery from this dunya. You need to get safe out of this dunya. So the more that you get out of the dunya, the more the dunya get you to it, you see. And the more you get to the dunya, the more that you stay away from Allah, the more that you're away from Allah, the more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with you. Hadith 1272. وعن سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الله يحب العبد التقي الغني الخفي. إن الله يحب العبد التقي الغني الخفي. أخرجه مسلم. The hadith reported by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, may Allah be pleased him, in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person, the slave of him who is righteous. He is righteous, self-sufficient, hidden person. What does this mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his slave. What kind of a slave? Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Number one, righteousness, good deed. He's concerned about pleasing Allah. Okay? Number two, al-ghani. What is al-ghani? Al-ghani means rich. But here will be, لأن الغنى ليس عن العرب. عن العرض ولكن الغنى غنى النفس. You be rich inside you. You see? غنى does not mean always have to be a lot of money. Because not everybody going to be rich. Not everybody can be rich. But the reality of being غنى, غني, that your nafs, your soul is high. It doesn't always looking up to what the people have. You feel content in yourself. Okay? I don't need to have this. I don't have to have this. Everybody have the, oh, but I don't have it. So, you see, I still alive. I still making. I still walking. I still going. I still coming. You see? So this called ghina nafs. أن الإنسان لا ينظر إلى فيما أيدي الناس ها؟ يبي كونتين القناعة ها؟ القناعة كما يقولون أنها كنز لا يفنى. الإنسان يكون يعني راضي بالذي عنده ويطالع لهذا ويطالع لهذا ونفسي في هذه ونفسي في هذه ها؟ so this, هذا الإنسان اللي عنده قناعة الله سبحانه وتعالى يحبه. العبد التقي الغني, the one who is content. And what? Al-Khafi. Is not known. Is not like famous and rich like they say, okay? Nobody know too much about him. He's about his own business. Like somebody come and says, oh man, look at this man. Okay. Everybody know him. You see? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he care more about a person who's quiet about his own business. He's not to understand like try to what you call boasting and want everybody to know him and everybody understand when he came and said, oh, look at him, look what he's wearing, look what he's driving, look what he's this and that. Okay? It's very, like, if he comes in the masjid, nobody know him. If he leaves the masjid, nobody know. You understand? Like, he's not missing if he didn't show up in the masjid. Okay? Because the people, they don't care too much for him. He's about his own business. He's concerned about Allah, practicing his deen. Okay? He's not concerned about everybody know him, I am so and so, and this and that. Okay? So the more that the person focusing about his deen, the more the person concerned about how to fix his own self, the more how he try to, because the more that you concern about yourself, okay, the more that you can see your weakness and your problems and you try to fix it. But you try to be showing off and everybody know you and you do this and that. You get in